Is it coming out on the speakers?
No. Thought so. There we go. Hello. Hello. Are you ready? No. Not everyone's ready. What about now? Just going to start the clock here as well. There we go. Oh, hi. My name is Carl Mesak. I've been involved in Perl 6 since around 2005, 2006. Around 2008, I sort of got into this whole bug reporting thing. I was working on a secret project, a wiki engine, and I just discovered how easy it was to report bugs. Let's do this. So I just started anonymizing the bug reports. I couldn't report them as they were in the code because the project was secret. And I've learned a couple of lessons from this. So I'm going to go through 7 points today that I learned from that. But so this is sort of hardcore bug reporting. Since 2008, I've been submitting 1,000 tickets, a kilo ticket. And many of these have been fixed in the past few years since then. So more than half of them have been fixed now. And that's really encouraging. It's getting to know that you make a difference by submitting these bug reports. So about half of them actually made it into the code and made a change. And that's very nice to know. And that's one of the things that keeps me submitting those bug reports. So 7 points. The first point is for the bug submitter, how to write the bug, what to include in the bug, in the ticket. And 3 points of information are especially important and should be in every single bug ticket. And that's the sequence of steps that you did to sort of cause the bug, what happened then, and what you would have liked to have happened, what you expected to happen. If you don't have these three, it's sort of not really a bug report yet. You need to change it until it's these three. And don't try to cheat by saying it doesn't work or something, but because it might be obvious to you, but it's not to everyone else, and your expectations might be wrong. Of course, sequence of steps is a very broad thing, and if you're really careful, you might include sort of compile your operating system and screw in the bolts of screws of your computer, and at some point you have to draw the line, of course, and only include the pertinent information, the things that actually matter. And suggestion two is to not be sentimental about handling tickets, and so this is mostly for the developers and those who care about the bug queue as an entity. And what does sentimental mean in this case? Well, don't keep a ticket just because it might be good for some unknown purpose that you might discover later. Instead, be very careful about why a ticket is still in the queue. It's don't pollute the queue with tickets that could have been closed but weren't for unknown reasons. Because issue tracking is a tool, and if you use it as a tool and sort of use it in a regular way, it will be a more efficient tool. And you shouldn't sort of try to adhere to unknown rules of the ticketing system. Instead, keep it simple. Make up a bunch of simple rules and follow those instead. So, for example, if a ticket has no observable, it comes in and you realize that I don't know when I should close this. Just close it immediately because it's not valid. And similarly, if you have actually fixed a ticket, and what it says was wrong is now right, just close it immediately. And this sounds really obvious, and it isn't. There's a real temptation, especially if you both submit the ticket and then go on and fix it, in saying, okay, I implemented A, and the ticket specified that I should be implementing A, but I also want to do B, so I'll close it after I've done B. Don't do that. Just close it and create a new ticket or whatever. The third point, as a developer, this is very important to realize that bug reports are an expression of caring for your product. Of course, software development would be much easier if it weren't for those darn users who sort of come into your system and crap it up entirely. This is one way to view a bug submitting process. A user comes and uses your code and thinks, oh, this is crap, and sends a message of annoyance and hate to the developer, who becomes less happy as a result. And you sort of want to avoid that viewpoint and instead adopt the viewpoint that the user is actually caring about the product from the beginning. And while he or she has discovered a slight flaw in it and something that doesn't work, the fact that the user communicates this to the developer is actually a good thing. And the developer should feel mostly happy because the user is getting in touch, and a little bit sad because at this particular issue we didn't sort of deliver. And of course should feel a bit of the love that was expressed in both using the product and sending the message. And this goes both ways. When sort of handling the ticket issue queue and responding to tickets, it's very important to not just close a ticket outright, but also saying thank you for getting in touch and for reporting this, even if the ticket is completely wrong and saying things that were valid 2 years ago or were never valid. Just a simple thank you sort of recycles this caring thing and pushes it back a bit. So you say thank you and then you reject the ticket. Of course, because you're not supposed to be sentimental. Another tip, get an eval bot. This has mattered a lot in the Perl 6 project, of simply having a bot that evaluates things for us, hence the name. We have this in the Perl 6 channel. The bot is called Perl 6 eval, and you simply write a Perl 6 program to it, prefix it with Racudo colon, and back comes, in a few seconds, the results. So the bot has gone away and compiled the program and run it and collected the output and writes it back. And while this might seem like a trivial thing, it completely changes the nature of discussions around features. You can show newbies how things work. When you're discussing problems, the eval bot becomes an integrated part in the bug reporting process itself, because instead of showing, okay, I got this on my local computer and you put up a no-paste URL or something, you can just, in the best case, run a one-liner through the eval bot and have it integrated in the IRC discussion. And then you just take the IRC discussion and commit it as submit it as a bug ticket. This works very well. An eval bot works very well when your project is a programming language, or basically anything that takes an input and returns an output. So any kind of filter. But a lot of things in computer science are filters. So it's more or less a matter of finding which things can be factored out into filters and used like this. I'm sure most projects do have this. And point number five, to omit needless words. I've seen very long bug reports in my life, and I'm not sure it always helps to be verbose. And I can tell you, when you're at bug report number 1,000, you don't have any particular need anymore to be verbose. You just sort of want to write the ticket and commit it as submitted as soon as possible. So, and in fact, when you look at both sides and what the implementer wants and what the user wants from this communication, it's very simple. The implementer wants these three things: the sequence of steps, what you observed, and what you expected. As soon as you have that, the bug ticket is complete and can be sent in. And what the user wants is even simpler: fixed. Several of the best communications with users that I've had as a developer have consisted of this communication. Just something's wrong, a few minutes later, fixed. They don't necessarily want to know how you fixed it. That's you wanting to know that. They don't care particularly. Number six, lie for the greater good. Lying, let's define it as misrepresenting the truth. And I think it can be used for good in bug reporting. I use it a lot, and I've never been caught at it, but I've been caught at it once now, between giving this talk last time and today. But it turns out I was right and I should have lied. And here's how it works. So let's say we want to pick out the bug report out of this IRC conversation. The problem is that it's very large and not all of it is relevant for the bug report. For example, we have a lot of leaving and joining messages that don't add anything to the bug report. Just leave those out. And then we have a bit of irrelevant discussion that we don't need to care about either. And then, as it happens, there's another bug report, another discussion going on that's material for another bug report, and we don't need that either. And what remains then is what isn't colored in here is actually the relevant material. So we take that and we submit that. And you'll also note that since this piece of conversation has the evalbot interaction, you immediately get the steps to reproduce because that's the code that you executed. And also the evalbot responds with the version of the Racudo compiler. So you'll need to know that in order to exactly reproduce the bug. And then we talk about what we expect, and the evalbot shows what we observed. So you have all these three components just from having this discussion. And there's no need to sort of write extra things because it falls out of this.
What is the lie?
Well, this is editorializing, let's say.
The lie.
Right. The lie comes when I fix typos and I rearrange lines in this, and I write things that people never really said, and sort of not to make them look bad, but to make the bug report look better and
clearer.
Yes, clearer. I distort the bug report in the direction of making it stand out. It's sort of what the bug report would have wanted to be. Things like that. That is the lie, and it's definitely lying. It's just that no one ever goes back to the IRC conversation, compares, and says, aha! That never happens. Yeah. Well, what is irrelevant is the truth in this case. Yeah, we don't care about the truth. We care about sort of a sensible bug report. It's called clarity, but it is lying.
Refining.
Now this is a thin line.
Refining, yes.
Okay, you said that you wanted the report, but couldn't you always add some sort of editorial note to it? Like, I mean, it's very useful to just say, you know, I added this. I mean, it would make it verbose, but, yeah.
So the question is...
just add some editorial comment to it, like, I don't know.
The question is, whenever I editorialize and change things around, couldn't I sort of add a log of things that I changed?
Well, yeah, a sort of log or just a comment saying, I mean, it's very useful. Whenever you quote
Right.
To say, okay, I'm adding this for clarity. So
I could do that, and I don't think anyone would care. That's the thing. I've even seen in the beginning when I did this, I did dot 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 when I sort of omitted things in the IRC log. The problem is that it's a heck of a lot of dots, and no one really reads those and or wants them to be there. And again, if there aren't any dots, no one is going to call me on, hey, you omitted a few lines here. Yeah, but they were join and leave messages, or someone said something about the weather, or things like that. So yes, I could add editorializing comments, but I don't think it would help. So the seventh and final point is simply to enjoy what you're doing. For me, submitting bug reports, it takes 5 minutes per bug report, just basically copy-pasting into my email program and then doing a bit of this rewriting and sending it along. And apparently I've done it 1,000 times. And it's this effortlessness of it all that makes it sustainable and fun. And I'd like for people to keep that in mind and to prioritize that. It's something we do in the Persix community quite explicitly, optimize for fun. Because life is too short not to do it, and professionalism doesn't have to equal tediousness and a lot of unnecessary work. So try to find the fun and love in reporting bugs, and eventually you'll reach 1,000 tickets. Thank you. And I'll take questions. Yes.
If you close tickets, then you said if there's no auditorium for a ticket closing.
Yeah.
How do you close it? Delete, reject, resolve, anything else?
Well, it depends on the system, I would guess. I like systems that have reject, and this whole thing with being nice when rejecting comes into it. It's especially important, I think, with patches when they come in. We have Patrick on the project who does this splendidly. He says, this is a good patch. It does what we want, but it does it in the wrong way. So thank you very much. And if you consider rewriting it to our standards, we will definitely apply it. And he rejects it. And the submitter feels honored for this.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes, Martin.
You are obviously the top of the league table for ticket submitters.
Right.
With your 1,000 tickets.
Yeah.
Who is number two, and how many tickets have they submitted?
So I promised to look this up, and I didn't. Sorry. The number two is Moritz with a couple of hundred. That's all I know. He's also the foremost closer of tickets, but that's because we have a system where we assign things to Moritz for testing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? Yes?
What wonderful presentation software is this?
Oh, thank you very much. It's homegrown. It uses Perl 5. It's called Infinite Canvas, and it's on GitHub.
Okay.
So thank you.